Amen. Hey, you may be seated if you can. But we are here to talk about just a simple, light, and airy topic. It's just simply called this: UFOs, aliens, and the coming mass abduction. Yay, praise God. I was excited about that, and I'll pay you $5 later for that single hand clap there on the front row. But what? Are you serious? Yes, yes, this is what we're talking about. And it's a hot topic. It's a very important topic. And believe it or not, it's a biblical topic, right? People are being led astray on this on a massive scale, right? And we did a 14-hour documentary on that. And I'm guessing that you guys haven't always seen it. Then that's why we wanted to bring it to you. Now, I can't preach all 14 hours, but that would be fun. Okay, so I'm going to try to surmise it in the next three studies, okay, as we do that. And as we get this screen doing something here. But there it is. Look at that. All right, announcements happen on when? Sunday. No, I'll fast forward. I'll tell you. We ain't going to do that again. That's funny. Ha, ha, ha. All right, where are we at? We're right over here. All right, we're going to begin a new study called UFOs, Aliens, and the Coming Mass Abduction, right? And it's a serious, important topic, obviously. And again, whether you realize or not, people are being led astray. Listen, even Christians are being led astray on this. And why do we do a 14-hour documentary on this? Because it's a very important topic, and we need to get equipped on it. There is a biblical answer. And really, what started the whole thing to get us to go back into this issue, the deepest that we've ever done as a teaching ministry, is because I did an interview with yours truly over there, Allison, and man, that thing went nuts. And then we said, you know what? We better deal with this on a massive scale. But here's what started it all. Let's take a look.
Welcome back to In Focus. It's the universal question that's vexed mankind since the dawn of time. Are we alone, or is there life beyond our earthly bounds? The topic is front and center on Capitol Hill as lawmakers examine the possibilities of unidentified flying objects, better known as UFOs. A former intelligence officer was among the witnesses appearing Wednesday before the House National Security Subcommittee, making some earth-shattering revelations.
If you believe we have crashed craft, stated earlier, do we have the bodies of the pilots who piloted this craft?
As I've stated publicly already in my News Nation interview, biologics came with some of these recoveries.
Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologics?
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to that are currently still on the program.
And was this documentary evidence, this video, photos, eyewitness, like how would that be determined?
The specific documentation I would have to talk to you in a skiff about.
Joining me now with more, pastor of Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas and founder of Get a Life Media Ministry, Pastor Billy Crone. Thanks so much for being back with us so soon. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, you too, Allison. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So what do you make of former U.S. intelligence official David Grush's statement at the House hearing stating that we recovered non-human remains from an alien craft?
Yeah, well, actually, if you read the Bible, this shouldn't surprise you. Because I think this is all part of a custom-tailored last day's deception to explain away the very event that God says is next on his prophetic time calendar. And that event is called the rapture of the church. And that is when God evacuates all born-again Christians, takes them off the planet before the worst time in the history of mankind is thrust upon the planet. The Bible calls that time the seven-year tribulation. So if, in fact, that event is going to happen and you're going to see millions of people disappear and you're an enemy of God, then what would you be doing? You better be coming up with the best excuse you can think of to explain away why all of a sudden these people disappeared, and specifically and only specifically Christians. Well, believe it or not, that's exactly what we have with the alien deception. They're called aliens. I agree with that guy. They're non-humans. But I don't agree with their assessment that they are a higher evolved race of beings from the other side of the solar system or galaxy or whatever here to help us. It's a deception. They call them aliens. The Bible calls them demons.
Wait a second. Two things there. Number one, what in the world is Pastor Billy doing wearing a normal jacket? Number two, more importantly, UFOs, aliens, or demons? What's up with that? Well, folks, ever since that video when we did that interview, it just went nuts and stirred the pot in a good way. And so we thought, you know what? We got to get God's truth out on this. And so, again, that's why we did our study at Sister, a documentary, a 14-hour documentary, UFOs, Aliens, and the Coming Mass Abduction. Right at getalifemedia.com. That's right. It's almost like somebody doesn't want this to get out there. I wonder who that is. Getalifemedia.com for more. But, again, what I'm going to do, for those of you who don't want to do that for whatever reason, then please hang with me. I'm going to try to do my best to take a 14-hour documentary and shrink it down to 3 hours. Isn't that cool? Then you're supposed to say, no, give us the whole thing. No, anyway, no. So we're going to try that over the next three studies. And you might be thinking again, as you guys know us here, come on, Pastor Billy, gee whiz. First of all, I'm still reeling from you wearing a normal jacket, number one. Number two, UFOs and aliens, are you serious? I mean, how many times are you going to do this to us? Everybody here in Vegas thinks we're a bunch of wackos anyway, right? I mean, so we're talking about Klaus Schwab. We're talking about Nephilim genetics and all this stuff and human 2.0 and right and all this stuff and the freaky occult stuff. And now you're talking about UFOs and aliens. Give me a break. I'm a Christian. I don't need to know this stuff. Yes, you do. I actually said this at many conferences around the world. I said, listen, I'll challenge you here at Sunrise. You go and you talk to your neighbor, your coworker, your family, your kids, your grandkids. I don't care who it is. A person at the restaurant. You just bring out this topic, UFOs and aliens, and watch people go, wow. Everybody is enthralled with this topic. The problem is they're being led astray. And the reason why is because two polls have come out. Watch this. This is the United States of America. Watch this. More people believe in aliens than they do in God. In America, supposed to be a Christian, yeah. More people believe that aliens have visited planet Earth than that Jesus is the Son of God. So what's that? Crone translation, like it, lump it, leave it or not. We Christians need to get equipped on this issue because our world is being led astray. We got to do it. And it's not just being led astray with, well, that's just a different worldview. No, it's now become so popular, it's become, listen, a replacement religion for Christianity. And I quote, listen, UFOlogy has effectively become a new religion for the 21st century where, listen, people now believe that aliens are going to save us, not God. It's a replacement religion. That's why we got to get equipped on it. Like this guy shares. Watch this.
Research has shown that people who are not affiliated with any church, but who claim that they are religious, are particularly susceptible to the possible existence of extraterrestrials. For them, ufology is a substitute religion.
We have people that come and their whole life is affected by this. They have looked at things, either they had an experience themselves or somebody they loved had an experience or they saw something. And so they're coming to our little town, which is crazy, from around the world to answer some of these huge questions. And they're wondering if aliens might be the answer to those questions.
Well, all religions, like Christianity, seek to answer the three big questions. You know what they are. First one, where do we come from? Are we created or are we evolved? But in the case of the UFO phenomenon, perhaps we were created by aliens, right?
I haven't seen that one before. That's obviously a take on creation of Adam in the Sistine Chapel. There's the hand of man reaching up to touch the hand of our alien creators, as many believe. Wow. If you ever wanted an example where ufology has become a substitute religion, tell you what, 20, 30 years ago, you couldn't have done that.
Number two is, why are we here? What's our meaning and purpose in life? Well, remember earlier I said that people are often changed, their lives are changed after this alleged alien encounter. And of course, the third one is, what happens to us when we die? Well, if there's no God, we're just dead. That's it. No life after death. But again, the UFO believers, they think that aliens are going to take us away or change the earth into some utopian paradise, for example. And they come up with ideas about, you know, fixing holes in our ozone layer and saving us from global warming, the common themes. But they even claim they can raise the dead. So I've had people challenge me and say, well, you know, Jesus was just an advanced alien mistaken for God, and that's how he could perform what appeared to be miracles at the time. Now, I want to be careful here. I'm not ridiculing. But it's important to note these are the types of stories that are given to people who have this alleged alien encounter. In other words, it's forming the answer to those three questions and therefore the basis of their worldview. and they're the key to interpreting what's happening in this whole UFO phenomenon.
In other words, people aren't just being led astray to believe in them. What's the ultimate thing? It's a spiritual bending of the facts. They're telling people at the same time, we're your real creators, not God. We're your new saviors, not Jesus Christ. That's demonic. We need to get equipped on this issue. Now, if you think that, quote, and here's a key word here, religious people aren't going to fall for this, they already have. Notice I said religious people. There's a lot of people who are into religion, but they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Most churches are flooded with religious people. Doesn't mean they're saved, but they just like feeling religious. The flesh loves to feel self-righteous. But religious people, you tell me if they won't fall for this lie. And I quote, this was a survey taken, listen, at the Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary. This is a seminary in the United States of America. And this was the survey, and the people were asked, what would the impact be with your faith when they make the announcement of extraterrestrial disclosure, that aliens and UFOs are real? And I quote, listen what this seminary came back with. Two things. Number one, their religion would be just fine, no problem. Number two, I'm not joking, I'd share a pew with an alien any day. What? You don't want to be sharing a pew with an alien, because what you're going to see is they're nothing but old-fashioned demons. See, the enemy's slick. All he does is repackage, relabel the same occult demonic behaviors, and just relabels it, puts a spin on it, and people fall for it in the next generation. But see, our society today is anti-supernatural because it's all about technology. I mean, after all, we have phones and we could travel and do this stuff in high tech. We don't believe in that superstitious stuff anymore. So all the enemy did was take the exact same critters, demons, and now they're aliens. They're not bad. They're good. They're not freaky, here to lead you away from Jesus, but they're here to help us. But again, he didn't do much of a switch there. It's just very little, but it's very effective. Demons, aliens. Just scrambled a little bit, didn't he? But the key to understanding what you're dealing with here is even in that new scrambling word, aliens. What's in the middle of it? A lie. Ooh. Where do lies come from? It rhymes with Satan. You know why? Because it's Satan. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Open your Bibles to John chapter 8. Let's begin to see what is really going on with this UFO alien so-called phenomena. Well, it's demonic, folks, and we know who they work for because they act just like him. John chapter 8, let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. John chapter 8, verses 42 through 44. This is, of course, Jesus speaking. He's going to give us a couple characteristics of Satan. So therefore, logically, biblically, if you see somebody emulating these characteristics, that tells you who they're working for, right? Let's see what he says, Jesus, about Satan. Here's what he says. In verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. For I have not come on my own, but he, God, sent me. And why is my language not clear to you? Watch this. Because you are unable to hear what I say. Why can't people understand when we preach to them and teach to them and share God's love with them? Because Jesus said, listen, you belong to your father, the figment of your imagination. The made-up story, the mythological figure that preachers did just to scare you into compliance and slavish obedience and to rip you off your money. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say that. Wrong translation. What did it say? Jesus speaking, the devil. Jesus believes in a literal devil. Jesus was tempted by a literal devil. Praise God, Jesus beat the literal devil on the cross, and he's a defeated foe. But 65% of the professing church doesn't believe in a literal devil. I wonder who put that thought in their head. But Jesus said, the reason why you don't understand is because you belong to your father, the devil. Now stop right there. That means there is no middle ground. How many people do you know have fallen for that lie? Well, I'm not a crazy wacko Christian on fire for Jesus wearing funky jackets like Pastor Billy. But on the other hand, I'm not some Satanist, you know, sacrificing people and animals and stuff and rituals. I'm just kind of in the middle, kind of wondering what. Watch Jesus said, there is no middle ground. You either belong to God or you belong to your father, the devil. The only way you become a child of God is the moment you trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness. That's it. Amen. But you belong to your father, the devil. Now he gives a couple characteristics. Well, what's he like? Well, he says, you belong to your father, the devil. He says, but you want to carry out your father's desire, the devil's desire. He was what? A murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. In fact, when he lies, Jesus said, he speaks his native language. Why? Because he's a liar and the what? The father of lies. You may see it if you can, but Jesus here says that Satan, he's not just a murderer, right? And been one from the beginning. What's he talking about? Satan is so stinking evil, he hates mankind, right? That he, in the beginning, the creation account, when he tempted Adam and Eve, he knew it wouldn't just mess up their relationship with God. What did God say? The moment you do this, if you disobey me, you will surely die. Satan set him up to kill him. You understand the foe in whom we have to deal with? And praise God, Jesus defeated. So he's a murderer. He's been one from the beginning. But not only that, he's a what? He's a liar. And what's the key word? The father of lies. So what does that imply? You and I, maybe we weren't there. Pick a lie, any lie on the planet, including what we're talking about. We weren't there, whoever, however, started that lie. But according to the scripture, some demon, some satanic influence whispered it in that person's ear, and that's what got it started. Satan is the father of all that. And this is what we have, folks, when it comes to UFOs and aliens. They do nothing but lie. They can't help but lie. I call them pathological liars. Why? Because they work for Satan. It's a demonic deception. Let's begin to break that down in this first study. First of all, their premise. Their whole premise is a lie. When these supposed aliens come out, and they supposedly come out of their spaceship, and they supposedly speak out of their little alien mouths, and in fact, say that. Do that alien noise. That sounds cool. You know what the first thing they say when they come out of there?
Hi there.
I don't know what they say, hi there. But anyway, they say hi. They introduce themselves, whatever, right? And they say what? And they go, who are you? Where are you from? You know what they always say?
We are a benevolent race of higher evolved beings from some, whoa.
Higher what? Evolved. That's evolution. Evolution is a lie. So you just got off the ship. You didn't do anything. But the first thing out of your little alien mouth, you lied to me. Where do lies come from? Satan. Okay. And I don't have time to go through our study that we did on Wednesday night, the first one on intelligent design. But I encourage you to come. And we're dispelling the lie of evolution. But let me just give you a little teaser of where we're heading in that study of just how big of a lie evolution really is. I personally don't have enough faith to believe in it. Let's see if you do. Because here's what they believe. Here's what they would want you to believe. Watch this.
I was doing asked me to speak at this college in Boston one time. This preacher called all the colleges and universities around Boston. I got my charts out and I said, now folks, I believe the Bible. Nobody cheered. I said, I believe about 6,000 years ago, God made everything. The world's not millions of years old. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, and I gave them the basic Bible story, okay? Then I told them what they believe. Because most of them don't know what they believe. You have to tell them. You guys believe 20 billion years ago, there was a big bang where nothing exploded and produced everything. 4.6 billion years ago, the earth cooled down, made a hard rocky crust. It rained on the rocks for millions of years, turned them into soup, and the soup came alive 3 billion years ago. And this early life form found somebody to marry. Boy, now that's a good trick. And something to eat, of course, and slowly evolved into everything we see today. One professor was getting kind of upset about this time. I seem to do that to them. He said, Mr. Hovind, there are hundreds of varieties of dogs in the world. I said, yes, sir, you're right about that. He said, you mean to tell me that you believe all these dogs came from two dogs off of Noah's Ark? You expect me to believe that? Ha, ha, ha. I said, sir, would you look at what you're teaching your students? You're teaching your students that all the dogs in the world came from a rock. I had one lady, I'm sorry, a woman, come to me after a debate one time. She was steaming down the aisle, boy, she was mad. Oh, I could tell, I'm in trouble now. I stood there quivering in my boots, you know. She walked up and she said, tonight, you said, we believe we come from a rock. We do not believe that. I said, well, ma'am, calm down just for a minute. I said, do you believe in evolution? She said, yes, I do. I'm a professor here at the university. I said, well, would you please tell me then where we came from? She said, we came from a macromolecule. I said, where did that come from? She said, from the oceans, from the prebiotic soup. I said, where did that come from? She said, well, it rained on the rocks for millions of years. And you could see it was slowly dawning on her. I do believe I come from a rock, don't I? Yes, ma'am, you do. You ought to be proud of it. Hey, don't step on Grandpa, whatever you do.
You got enough faith to believe in that one? No way. That's actually the core premise of evolution. That's a lie. It's ridiculous, right? Not just logically, scientifically, but certainly biblically, but it's a lie. Where do lies come from? Satan. He's the father of all of them, including this one. But listen, put it together. But then, so you're a higher evil. Your whole premise of existence is based on a lie. You lied to me, you liar, right the moment you got off your so-called spaceship. That's the first of many tests that we know who we're dealing with. It's demonic, folks. The second one is the issue of origins. Now, this kind of dovetails off the live evolution. And as we're seeing in our intelligent design study that we just started on Wednesday night, we're seeing that there's evidence of a design. Romans chapter 1. Design is something that implies a designer. And that's what God says, so that nobody's without excuse. You know that I exist because from the tree to the flea to the bee to you and me, there's design everywhere. And that's our journey we're just beginning on Wednesday nights. Well, believe it or not, here comes these alien critters. And guess what? They've come in supposedly to rescue the day from coming to that conclusion that God is real. And it's called panspermia. Have you heard of that? But panspermia basically is the lie that's very popular out there to try to explain away the evidence that we see of design. Oh, no, it wasn't God. That's not why we see, you know, a design life form. We didn't come from the goo to the zoo to me and you. And I get it. It sounds stupid to believe that we came from raining on the rocks for millions of years. And okay, here's where it came from. It was the aliens. The aliens came here and kickstarted life. That's why we find design. Really? Let's examine that real quick.
In order to avoid the idea of a designer, many people have looked elsewhere for answers to these questions. Some have suggested that life on Earth could have arrived by chance from another planet and floated to Earth in some icy comet or meteorite. This is known as panspermia, or almost literally, seeds from space everywhere. But how could organic life survive the incredibly harsh environment of space when there's no oxygen, there's below freezing temperatures, there's harmful radiation, and then just happen to be captured by Earth's gravity as it flew past at tens of thousands of miles an hour and somehow avoided being burned up as it entered the Earth's atmosphere like 48 kilometers per second, and then survive smashing into the planet at supersonic speeds that are fast enough to melt the very ground on impact? It was problems like this that prompted the atheist astronomer and Big Bang critic Sir Fred Hoyle to say, "There's also not the slightest trace that any primeval soup ever existed on Earth, let alone any other planet. If the beginnings of life were not random, they must therefore have been the product of purposeful intelligence. It is big enough to bury Darwin and the whole theory of evolution."
Francis Crick, the primary discoverer of DNA, is one of those scientists who realize it can't happen spontaneously. So he, like other scientists, are imagining that intelligent life from outer space brought life to Earth. And they find that more credible than the idea of spontaneous origin of life.
That was chicken juice right there. It was green, moldy. You saw it with your own eyes, folks. Wait a second. You mean to tell me you'd rather believe that so-called aliens came here, poured chicken juice or whatever in our waters, and that's why we see design? First of all, it's a lie. But second of all, you didn't answer anything. Nothing when it comes to origins. All they do is kick the can further down the road. Because all you got to do is say, okay, so we supposedly came from an alien who poured chicken juice. Well, by the way, I got to kick this. Because this really happened. Talk about the sovereignty of God. Not only did Allison show up on the day I start this, but we're talking about chicken juice, which is a very important topic. Somebody gave me this in first service, and I have to share it with you. And it's the age-old question. They answered it. Why did the chicken cross the road? I'm not making this up. And you know what the answer is? Read it and weep, people. Because chickens are really, really stupid. But anyway, back to the chicken juice. You would rather believe that aliens poured some juice, whatever, you know, some theories they jacked up apes, you know, with some DNA stuff to speed up the process. You would rather believe that than that design implies a designer, i.e. God, evidence for his existence that the Bible teaches. And dare I say, real science teaches. But okay, so then let me ask you a question. Who made those aliens that poured in that chicken juice?
Well, it was the other aliens.
Okay, well then who made those aliens? Who made those aliens?
Well, it was the other aliens who made those aliens who made the aliens that poured in the chicken juice.
Okay, well, who made those aliens?
Well, it was those aliens.
You see what I'm saying? You never answer. You just kick the can down the road. It's a lie, folks. Okay? But we're just getting started, right? The third way that these things lie, and where do lies come from? Satan. That tells you who they're working for, is their form. Now, let's go back to, again, their evolution premise. If evolution were true, then when these critters supposedly come from wherever, and evolution was true, you'd expect them to show up in some random blob or shape once in a while, right?
Like a giant eyeball with 18 tentacles,
right? Something like that, right? Or, right, a chicken with fangs, right? But why is it that when they do show up, they're humanoid? I mean, what are the odds of that, right? In fact, even the secular ufologists admit something doesn't stack up here. If evolution were true, it's on tape. Watch this.
When I got out in 1989, we had cataloged 57 different species. You have individuals that look very much like you and myself that could walk among us and you wouldn't even notice the difference, except for some of the things that they might be able to go ahead, even in a dark room, and touch an object and go ahead and identify what color that object might be. They would have a heightened sense of smell, sight, hearing. Situation is that you have various types of what we normally call grays. We didn't call them grays in the military, but you had at least three types of the grays. You had some that were much taller than we were. The unique thing that I'd like to point out for the most part is that the entities that we did catalog were in fact humanoid. Now this created a situation where the scientific community was trying to figure out why that would be the case, because you would expect that if life evolved on other planets that they would take on some type of other being, so to speak, not necessarily look humanoid or be bipedal such as we are. But apparently we got quite a few of the species out there that are humanoid in appearance. And that creates a question that yet has to be answered by science.
I'll answer it for you. It's called a lie. When angels appear in the Bible, when you see like they say the angels that appeared to Abraham, what'd they appear as? Human, bipedal. Demons are fallen angels. So again, if evolution were true, you'd expect a random blob shape. But nope, even they admit, this is strange that they show up humanoid. That's because it's a lie, folks, right? The next one is they lie about their breathing. Again, back to the premise of evolution. If evolution were true and they supposedly came from some other planet or some other star system or some other galaxy, wherever, blah, 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 then what are the odds of them ever being able to breathe our atmosphere? Next to none, right? In fact, when we flip it around, when people are being brainwashed with Star Trek and Star Wars, when they go onto a foreign planet, what do they always have to have? Some sort of a breathing device. But so then we would expect it in reverse. If they're coming from some other planet, then they wouldn't be able to breathe our atmosphere. Well, guess what? Even the secularists admit, wait a second, they always seem to be able to breathe our atmosphere. That's kind of strange. Watch this.
When we look at the UFO phenomenon, what we find is that the entities involved seem to almost overplay the emphasis that they're extraterrestrials. They go out of their way to stress they're extraterrestrials. Now, there are a number of reasons why the extraterrestrial angle doesn't really hold water. One being that these things, whatever they are, seem very comfortable in our atmosphere, with our oxygen levels. They very rarely are seen with space helmets, so to speak. And this is just too much of a coincidence that entities from millions or thousands of light years away could be so adaptable immediately to our atmosphere. I think we're dealing with B beings that are creating a meme to sow the seeds of belief in extraterrestrials, when in reality there's something extremely different.
Can I translate that for you? It would appear that these guys are liars and they keep lying to us. Secular guys, just putting two and two together. Where do lies come from? Satan. They can't help but lie. That's all. It's the whole thing's a lie. And we'll get to the reason here in a second. Why are they doing it then? There is an agenda. But again, the odds of you breathing our atmosphere and you got no problem, there's no way. Which leads to the next lie, and that is their technology. These guys have been historically ticking around for a while. Demons have been around ever since the fall of Satan, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, kicking around about 6,000 years. They know what makes us tick as humans. They know how to deceive us. They know us very well. And Satan, the Bible says, took one third with him, so he's got a lot of these critters around. But they've been around for quite some time. But another lying thing they do, another deceptive thing they do, is when you look at those historical accounts, they change their flying technology to mimic the flying technology of the people that day. Let me give you some examples.
Most people today envision UFOs to be exactly as they are portrayed in most science fiction films and books. This is, of course, a relatively recent conception that has been stimulated, perhaps, by our expanding knowledge of outer space. But strange sights appeared in the skies long before spaceflight or manned flight of any kind was possible. And in each century, these visions took on identities that tell much about the worldview of those who saw them. Alexander the Great and his army, for instance, were harassed by a pair of flying objects in 329 BC. Most of the soldiers fled the scene, but some of the hardier men stood their ground and tried to hit the discs with their arrows and with stones from their slings. In 1492, just 4 hours before discovering land, Christopher Columbus saw a bright glowing object come out of the sky, go into the water, and travel slowly through the water very close to the ship that he was on. Engraved onto a French token, minted in the 1860s, is a disc-shaped flying object that experts say may have commemorated a daytime UFO sighting. The great British astronomer, Edmund Halley, of Comet fame, also saw a series of unexplained aerial objects in March of 1716. One of them lit up the sky for more than 2 hours and was so brilliant that Halley could read a printed text by its light. There were sightings in 1897 of a lighter-than-air ship that had propellers, porthole windows, and brilliant searchlights, which it directed at the ground.
Okay, let's focus on just that last one there in the 1800s. You showed up, what's a lighter than airship? What's the other word for it? Blimp. So you showed up as a blimp, and this is actually in microfiche, right? Not those tiny fish that you can buy that glow in the dark, but the newspaper articles, right, that you can go back and that are archived and you can go see. But supposedly, aliens showed up, it's in the newspapers, in blimps with window portholes and propellers. And they told the people on the ground, we're here from Mars, sometimes Venus. Really? You flew from Mars on a blimp. Now, why did they show up in a blimp? Because at that time, what was the latest flying technology? A blimp. Right? And then today, they don't show up in a blimp because we don't ride blimps. Right? They show up with what? A metallic spaceship or aircraft. Why? Because that's how we have our flying technology, is metallic aircraft. Did you really improve your technology that fast? Did you really fly from Mars on a blimp? If you did, you better send an email to Elon Musk. He's wasting billions of dollars to build spaceships to try to get there. He could just do a blimp. Or are you lying? And you've been appearing for a while, but you appear in the same form that that particular generation has their flying technology. You're liars. You're deceivers. Where do lies come from? They come from Satan. Let me give you another. Their location. Now, I just said that when they showed up in a blimp, They literally told the people, this is in print, we're here from Mars. Well, they got away with that for quite some time. But you know what they don't say anymore? We're here from Mars. You know why? Because now we have technology to see if there really is life on Mars. And they're not. Watch this.
One of the most suspicious things about this issue of the phenomenon claiming to be extraterrestrial is that they're constantly coming up with new places or old places from wherever they came. Back in the 50s, it was Mars, it was Venus, it was Saturn. Then in the 60s, we heard stories about Zeta Reticuli. And today, you know, it's multiple star systems all across the universe. Now, we know for sure that Mars and Venus are not homes to massive civilizations of extraterrestrials. Lo and behold, the aliens don't claim to come from Mars or Venus anymore today.
The stories that the alleged abductees have been given all contradict each other, so they can't all be true. Also, they've been given people messages that we can confirm to be lies. Their intent seems to be to deceive people about where they came from.
What did you say? It appears the track record is stacking up. Secular ufologists, these guys are liars. And they're lying to us. And one lie they don't tell anymore because they got caught was they don't claim to come from Mars and Venus anymore. Why? Because we know there is no life there. Right? Which leads to the next lie. Their appearance. Right? Now, UFOs, aliens, those are modern terms that came about, you know, in the late 40s, things of that nature. But back in the day, there was no such term as UFOs, aliens, let alone grays, and all this kind of stuff. But they did appear to people. In fact, they not only appeared to people, but when you take a look at what was going on, it's carbon copy of abduction accounts today. Missing time, being abducted, weird sexual things being done to them. But they didn't use those terms. You know what terms they used? Leprechauns, fairies, goblins. And if those of you did our witchcraft study with us, those were the names that people gave demons appearing on the scene abducting people. They're one and the same. Let's take a look at that.
One of the main reasons why I suspect the phenomenon is not extraterrestrial is because it's constantly changing. If we go back to, say, the Middle Ages in England, we get reports of fairies, of goblins, of little creatures that would abduct people. They would experience missing time. There would be a sexual component to a lot of these cases. And they parallel eerily today's abduction experiences with the so-called greys. So the goalposts are constantly shifting in what the aliens look like. And I think a lot of it reflects our beliefs and our pop culture as to how they manifest for us.
Do you catch that? Today, we're not superstitious. We don't believe in leprechauns or fairies or goblins. And you have to say it that way, making that noise. But we don't believe in that. We're technologically savvy. We're high-tech people. We're modern, right? We don't believe in that stuff. So they still appear. They still abduct people. They just change the name. You don't call them leprechauns. You call them demons or aliens. The grays. No, it's the same thing. And the people back then had the same experience as people do today. They're one and the same. They only change their name. They change their appearance. Just like with the technology. Just like with their location. Anybody starting to see a pattern of behavior? It's like these guys just can't stop lying. Where do lies come from? They come from Satan. I'll give you a couple more. Travel. Now let's go back to that premise, right? They got caught lying, saying they came on a blimp from Mars. Well, now we know you didn't come from Mars, and they stopped saying that. And Venus and some of the other closer locations. So you know what they do?
Did I say Mars? What I really mean is, we came from another galaxy. We come from the star system. You know why they say that? Because they think we can't check it out like we can with Mars and Venus.
Well, for those of you hooked on math, anybody? Praise God, all none of you, right? With math and something that's called science, real science, astronomy, astrophysicists, guess what we can do? Even though we can't travel there, guess what we can do? We can see whether or not that kind of long-distance travel is scientifically possible. And guess what? It's not. You lied again. Watch this.
I've been involved in the development of space vehicles for exploration for over 60 years. You know, there are massive problems with the idea that advanced aliens can simply warp themselves around the galaxy, jump into hyperspace, or use wormholes, etc.
The nearest star to our own sun is Proxima Centauri, which is about 4.4 light years from Earth. That's about 45 trillion kilometers away. Our own sun is 150 million kilometers from the Earth by comparison. So even if you could travel at the speed of light, it would take you 2.5 million years to reach the closest galaxy, which is Andromeda. That's over 500,000 times further away than Proxima Centauri.
There is a tyranny of distance in space if one wants to explore other worlds or star systems. Einstein theorized that the maximum speed possible could only ever be the speed of light.
Imagine a very small spacecraft, only 1 ton or 2,200 pounds. How much energy would it take to reach just a third the speed of light, or 100,000 kilometers per second? Simple physics shows that it would need a huge amount of energy. How huge? Twice as much as the total energy produced worldwide by all nuclear testing and combat combined. And when you get to your destination, you need the same amount of energy to slow it down. Then when you want to return home, it has to be accelerated and slowed down again. Every round trip requires a fourfold input of this enormous amount of energy. And this is just for a tiny craft, not the Enterprise or the huge ships in Independence Day. Space is an incredibly hostile environment. It is estimated that there are 100,000 dust particles per cubic kilometer of space. For example, when the Space Shuttle Challenger hit a small paint flake in 1983, the impact energy was so great that it gouged a crater in the front window. These windows were designed to be extremely robust.
The Hubble Space Telescope already has several holes in its structure after just 12 years circling the Earth, traveling at about 1/10,000th of the speed required for galactic travel.
Note that the energy is proportional to the square of the speed, so our hypothetical 1/3 light speed craft would suffer 100 million times the energy damage of the Hubble for a given impact. So even a grain as light as a snowflake would be like a pinpoint explosion of 4 tons of TNT. An object with the mass of a raisin would result in an impact with the energy equivalence of 80 Hiroshima atomic bombs.
Now, science fiction such as Star Trek has invented concepts such as force fields, deflector arrays, and shields to deal with these problems. Now, some electrically charged objects can be deflected using electromagnetic fields. But here we're talking about withstanding energy impacts totaling multiple atomic bombs. This remains purely in the realms of science fiction.
In other words, remember, trust the science. Science is telling us the only time that you see space travel is in the movies and the cartoons, which last I checked are not real. So they say there's a time problem, a distance problem, a fuel problem, and a debris problem, not one, not two, four major scientific problems proving these critters are what?
Liars.
You're liars. Because we know you didn't just not come from Mars and Venus. You're not going anywhere. Because this whole idea of interstellar space travel is impossible. Now, on top of that lie, just how they do appear, because something's appearing, it just so happens to agree with the way that angels, which demons are fallen angels, travel. Let me give you another case in point. I already talked about Abraham, the angels appeared to him. Let's take a look at this one. 2 Kings 6:17. And Elijah prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. And so basically that whole context, if you're familiar with it, is basically a man-made army was coming against the prophet Elijah. And he wasn't freaking out because he could see the spiritual realm, that God's invisible army, his angelic army, was there, nothing to worry about. But his servant didn't see it, so he prayed on his behalf to get him to stop freaking out. "God, would you please open his eyes so he can see what was there the whole time?" And that's the context. But it's a clue of how do angels appear in the Bible? Well, they're there 1 minute, and the next thing, they're gone. Back to the Abram account. He was talking to those three guys, angels. He turns around. Where'd you go? To use a modern vernacular, they're there 1 minute. They're gone. They materialize. They dematerialize. They pop in. They pop out. Why? Because the Bible talks about our realm and then another realm that's called the spirit realm. They're dimensional creatures, angels. They travel from their realm, the spirit realm, and they immediately come in and materialize in our realm. But then they dematerialize and go back to there. That's how angels travel. Well, guess what? Guess how these UFOs and aliens travel? The exact same way. Watch this.
"Well, I have been investigating the UFO phenomenon since around 1961. I have even been a member of UFO organizations such as NICAP and APRO. And I have interviewed hundreds of people who claim to have had amazing sightings, including those who claim to have been abducted. This phenomenon doesn't seem to appear from outer space, but rather they appear suddenly and they disappear or dematerialize and gives us the impression that they are taking off as if using some kind of a propulsion system. And I don't think they are flying. They just disappear or dematerialize."
So they're not coming from outer space. They're coming from another dimension. They just appear and disappear. That's what the Bible calls the spirit realm. And that's how angels and demons that are fallen angels travel. Coinkydink? I don't think so. Plus, if they really were coming from some other star system, how come it never happens like this? "Hey, Bob! Bob, is Bob here?" I just made that up. Whatever, don't get distracted. "Bob, hey, here they come. We see them coming around the backside of the moon of Jupiter. They're headed this way, and according to our calculations, you know, from Hubble, they're going to be here in 3 days and 14 hours and 40, you know, like they see in the science fiction movies. Hey, here they come." Forget that. "Hey, here they are. They had a base on the backside of the moon, and here they come. They're launching. They're going to be here in 12 hours and 36 seconds. We can see them. It's on radar." You never see that. And speaking of radar, this is always how they appear. They just, next thing you know, they're on radar, and they'll even be chasing them, and the next thing they go, where'd they go? They pop in, they pop out exactly the same way that demons, angels travel. Let me give you just two more. They're liars, they're pathological liars, and they lie about their teachings. So now, their whole premise is lie, everything is lie, but they just got to keep it going. So once they finally get off their ship, and their little alien mouth, do that noise. So they share something besides luli luli lu, for those of you wondering. And the whole premise is they've come all the way across the universe, which we know is not true. And they say, "We're here. We're benevolent, higher evolved," another lie, "beings. But we're here to help you in mankind's time of desperation." And it's actually been cataloged, what's coming out of their little mouths. Okay, what they've actually shared, they supposedly come all the way across the universe to share with you and I. Let me give you just some of them. And this is what you came all the way. You spent all that gas money to share this with us. Really? Let's examine it. I'm not joking. This is even secular people admit. They said this: "The earth is a living entity and we need to worship her and change our ways or we will be destroyed." Is that true? No, that's a lie. God says it's because people worship created things instead of the Creator. His wrath is being revealed from heaven. So you're promoting the wrath of God. Jesus, Muhammad, and Buddha all came from the ETs to assist mankind in our next step of evolution. Two lies there. Jesus did not come from the aliens, and evolution's a lie. Really? So come all the way across just to share that. There is no such thing as sin, and we do not need to be saved. Now that's demonic. Excuse me? All the way just to say that. Really? They also say Christianity's got it all wrong. Jesus' real message was to teach that each one of us can become Christ's. Matthew 24, Jesus said, that's the first thing you need to watch out for. Many will come claiming, I am the Christ. You liars. They also say this, to aid in contacting these heavenly beings, one should refrain from certain foods and practice meditation. You know, get into an altered state of consciousness and let these things possess you. Is that a good thing to do? Rhymes with no, because it's no. Mankind, I'm not joking, they say, needs to unite, watch this, into a one world government, a one world religion, under a one world ruler, or we will be destroyed. Really? So you spend all that gas money and travel across the universe just to promote the Antichrist kingdom. Really? Oh, it gets worse. And this is in print. They said the devil or Lucifer is a good guy who's come to free us. Oh, now you're really, to use the Vegas term, tipped your hand. Really? You come all the way across the universe just to say Satan's a good guy? I think I know who you're working for now. Speaking of Satan, what caused the fall of Satan? Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, he wanted to be God. And so wonder of wonders, these aliens are saying what? All of us are little gods. Really? Here they are in action. Watch this.
So forget about the past and live today on the wisdom, the virtue of what you've gained. You don't have to feel guilty about your life anymore. I would love someone to stand up and say, God doesn't live outside of you. God is you.
While Jay-Z Knight is among the more successful mediums, she is certainly not alone. A nearly identical doctrine is preached from a series of channelers who believe they are in communication with extraterrestrial spirits from other planets and galaxies. We are introduced to a woman who channels a spirit calling itself Leah.
Hello, Philip. How are you today?
Very good, Leah. How are you?
Very fine, thank you. So, what is it that you wanted to know?
Where are you from?
I'm from Venus.
I don't think anybody's going to believe that you or anybody else could be from Venus. Could you explain to us how you could be when everybody knows it's uninhabitable?
They think it's uninhabitable because it is not inhabitable by physical life forms. We have bodies of light.
While Leah rambles on with fantastical ideas, she soon compels the audience toward global unity, a message found throughout the New Age movement.
And what occurs here on this planet will affect the rest of the universe. Can you, with all of your different ideas, all of your different races, come together as one planet and one people? We have dedicated millennia upon millennia to this idea.
Now the interviewer asks the woman to exchange spirits and to channel another spirit that calls itself the Tibetan. Listen carefully to the Tibetan's message as he refers to the great I Am, the name God reveals in the Bible to describe himself.
I am the Tibetan, and I have come during this time continuum to discuss with you the idea of the only question in the universe. And that question is, what is? And the answer is, I am. For all things that are created, that were created, that shall be created, fall under the question, what is? And you, each and every one of you, are that answer, and that answer is, I am. I am is also the name of the creator of this universe. You are all connected to the creative source of this universe. And nothing can stop that flow except your denial that you are God.
Really? Man, let's tear this thing apart. First of all, is it just me? Or what we just saw, this is no joke, folks. You just saw a person demon-possessed. Literally demon-possessed under demonic control that the demons were using them. The Bible calls it mediumship, Deuteronomy 18. he forbids. It's an abomination because it's a demonic practice. And they speak through them. You just saw a demon-possessed woman having a demon speak through them. But is it just me, or when the demons do that, to make it sound spiritual, it's always in a really bad British accent? I mean, at least work on it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? To fool people, oh, he's a spoiled chain of crumpet. I mean, I can do better than that, right? And I always thought this, not to get distracted, but I wonder if the demons, when they do that in England, do they sound American? Howdy, y'all. Hot dog, apple pie. Okay, but anyway, other than that, what did the demon say? We are God. Now, remember, this is supposed to be coming from UFOs and aliens, which we'll get into this, Lord willing, next study, if we're still alive and still here. Wait a second. You're supposed to be this higher evolved, lie, technologically advanced race, super scientific, much more than us. You'd think if you'd want to give us this message that you could figure out some other way than demonic possession to get it done. That's the only way we can get this information is you got to possess me like a demon and speak through and take over my vocal cords. That's a little, how about an email? Can you call me on the phone? I mean, remember, you're technologically advanced, but no, it's a demonic practice. So that's another weird thing. But of all things for these so-called aliens to say is what? You are God. That's blasphemy. And that's the very thing that caused the fall of Satan. Well, it's a lie, folks. God's very clear. He ain't scooching over and sharing room. The position's not open. Get a different job. You'll never be God. Deuteronomy 4:35. You were shown these things that you might know that the Lord is God. Beside him, there is no other. Deuteronomy 4:39. Acknowledge and take heart to this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and earth below. There is no other. 1 Kings 8:60. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, that there is no other. Anybody seeing a pattern here? Hello. There is no other God. Isaiah 44:8. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. Isaiah 45:5. I am the Lord, there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. You're a liar. And that's all these things can do. But this is their premise. You come all the way across the galaxy just to tell us a bunch of lies? And see, that exposes who they really are. And that's what we see. Dr. Walton Martin, even back in his day, folk, he called it out. He said, the big problem is not what they are, it's who they are. And the key is their theology. They're all saying the same thing. They're all bad-mouthing the Bible. In other words, it's what we call the demonic. That's what demons do. John Ankerberg, he says, listen, in light of the messages given by the UFO entities, how credible is it to think that literally thousands of genuine ETs would fly millions and billions of light years just to what? Teach New Age? Deny Christianity? Support the occult? We've already got a ton of that on this planet. That's nothing new. And why would they consistently lie about things which we know are true? And why would they purposely deceive their contacts? Because they're demons. That's all they do. They work for Satan, the father of all lies. And again, you spend all this gas money to come over here? I mean, we're here to help you? Well, do something positive. Give us a cure for cancer. Take Kamala with you back on the spaceship. Beam her up. Do something good for the country. Hello, right? Take Biden out for some ice cream for 1 million years. Do something. But no, you come all the way across what? Just to support the Antichrist kingdom, say Satan's a good guy, debunk only Christianity, say that Jesus is not real, he's an ET guy, and we don't need to be saved. Excuse me, that's what demons do. Now, all of this is building up because you repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, and often enough, and you got Hollywood, the secular education system to help you out. People believe it. But here's the big lie. They're pitching themselves. You got to first believe in them so that you can believe in this final lie, and they're going to excuse away the rapture of the church. This is why they're doing it, folks. This is why they're doing it. So let's get acquainted quickly with just one rapture passage, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive. How many of you guys are still alive? Raise your hand. The rest of you, you're freaking me out. But anyway, so we're still alive. Who are left, right, will be caught up, harpazo in the Greek, where we get the word rapture from, a quick snatching, catching away, okay, will be caught up together with them in the where? The clouds. Pay attention to that. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He doesn't come back to earth. That would be the second coming. And this is not a second coming. It's a separate event. He comes in the air. And then we'll be with the Lord forever. So again, of all these things, these critters, supposedly spend all this gas money, come millions and millions, on top of every other lie, you know what they're also saying? you're going to see millions of people disappear. It's going to happen. But it's Mother Earth cleansing herself. And it was us, the aliens, who sucked those people up in our spaceships. I'm not joking. This is in print. Here's a couple other people who are also mediums of demons, aliens. This one, Barbara Marciniak, she wrote a book called Bringers of the Dawn. And this is what the so-called aliens, demons, from the star system Pleiades, aliens, told her to tell us. And I quote, "There will be great shiftings within humanity on this planet. It will seem that great chaos and turmoil are forming and nations are rising against each other in war and that earthquakes are happening more frequently. It's got to be true because that, hello, they can read Matthew 24. That's no big shakes. The earth is shaking itself free. A certain realignment or adjustment period is to be expected. The people who leave the planet during the time of earth changes do not fit here any longer. And they, Christian church, the restraining influence, are stopping the harmony of the earth. When the time comes that perhaps 20 million people leave the planet at one time, there'll be tremendous shift in consciousness for those who are remaining." You betcha there will be. You're going to be left behind. But this is from the aliens. They're saying they're the ones that suck the people up. Don't think about Jesus. Don't think about the rapture. It was the aliens. This lady, again, aliens are telling her to tell us this. It's all demonic. She wrote a book from them, channeled it, Project World Evacuation. Here's what she shares. "All over the globe where events warrant this, this will be the method of evacuation. Mankind will be lifted, levitated, shall we say, by the beams from our smaller ships. The great evacuation will come upon the world very suddenly. The flash of emergency events will be as lightning that flashes in the sky." Notice how they, again, pepper it with biblical terminology. Make it sound spiritual. "Don't be concerned or unduly upset if you do not participate in this first temporary lift-up of souls who serve with us." So they admit that there's some going to go, some are not going to go. "This really means that your action in the plan is elsewhere and you'll be taken for your instructions or receive them in some other manner. Do not take any personal affront if you are not alerted or not participate in this first phase of our plan. Your time will come later and these instructions are not necessary for you at this time. So trust us, we're here to help you. If you don't get sucked up, then don't worry about it. If you're left behind, don't worry. We'll give you instructions later, send you an email." Really? One guy says this, "For almost 2,000 years, the Christian belief has been that God will evacuate the earth of all born-again believers prior to the pouring out of his wrath. But for many years now, many among the New Age movement have received messages from aliens, spirit guides, that Mother Earth will soon cleanse herself. By what? Ejecting all those with bad vibratory patterns, you and I, to another realm, allowing the ascended masters and aliens to help bring upon a golden age on this earth." When the rapture happens, because this is an event that you cannot explain away. You know, the news today, if they don't want you to know something, they just don't show it. You can't do it with this event. It's going to be global. And so you're going to have to report on it. You can't hide this one. But the enemy is slick. He's been working on this lie for 150 years since Charles Darwin. Because you have to first get the planet to believe the lie of evolution to fall for the second lie, evolved aliens to fall for the third lie. That's what happened to those people. It was the aliens. Because again, you got to put yourself in the enemy's shoes. He can't spin this one away. And he doesn't want people to get saved in mass. A lot of people say, hey, after the rapture, people are going to be getting saved right and left. Maybe, maybe not. I think initially, people are going to be deceived with a whole nother lie. Psychologically, in a time of crisis, people will gravitate towards just about any lame excuse to maintain sanity. Right? I mean, somebody could come on the scene and say, here's what happened to your loved one. They went to that 13th aisle in Walmart and got sucked into a chicken vortex. Okay, I'll take that just to maintain sanity. But this isn't just an excuse. See how brilliant it is? Do you see how evil and cunning the enemy is? Slowly, methodically, decade after decade, starting 150 years ago, he's getting people set up for this lie. And then all it would take is for when the people disappear, that you get somebody to reassure the planet. You know, maybe like a religious figure. You know, somebody like the false prophet. I mean, the Pope. I mean, gets up and makes a global announcement and says, don't worry, aliens are real. Your loved ones are fine. When they're able to handle the time of earth changes, we'll beam them back. But you're a chosen one. And look at this guy. He just made peace in the Middle East. And we're going to follow him into this age of utopia with our space brothers. How many people would fall for that? And if you think it's a stretch that the Vatican would do that, that's our third and final message if we get that far. It's all about the Vatican. That's exactly what they're waiting to do. It's on tape. Because they're going to be left behind. You know why? Because Catholicism is not biblical Christianity. You're no better off if you follow the lie of Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses. It's a works-based false gospel. So it's no surprise that they want to be here because they're going to be left behind. But Hollywood is right there helping to what I call pre-visualize, put a print into people's brains before the Pope even makes his announcement. Yep, that's what happened to him. Didn't you see that movie? That's why those people disappeared. That's why some disappeared and some were left. Don't think about Bible. Had nothing to do with this rapture. What are you talking about? You know what it was? It was the blip. That's what it was.
Where'd he go?
Steve?
Up, General. Up. This is no place to die.
See what happens when you eat chicken? Just melts your DNA, man. Let's close in prayer. No. Hey, wait a second. Wait a second. That's what it was. It was the blip. I mean, we laughed about it. We thought it was just a show. But that's why people disappeared. And then we're left behind. It was this weird blip thing. And how many people do you think would fall for that? How many billions of people saw that movie? One of the highest grossing films of all time. All over the planet. It is not by chance, folks. But that's just one scenario. See, a lot of times when the Christian media portrays the rapture, and the rapture happens, then all that's left, it's like, you're gone, you know, could flake out of existence. But what is usually, it's usually a pile of clothes, right? Now, I land on, that. It could happen, I'm not going to get dogmatic about this, it could happen that way, right? But I land a little bit more on a different scenario, I'll explain it in a second, but my concern is, if it is the pile of clothes thing, then you know what's going to happen. As soon as I get raptured, people are going to start fighting over this jacket. There's going to be riots in the street. And maybe that's how it all starts. I don't know. But some of us would say, the instant disappear thing, maybe, flaking away, maybe. Either way, it gets that imprint in people's brains because some were mysteriously taken and disappeared and some were left behind. But there's another school of thought, and that is it's going to be a visual. Visual, you'll see it. It's not just instant disappear, just flake. Will visibly be taken up physically. Now, there is a biblical premise for that. One, we saw that's exactly how Elijah was taken visibly, and Elisha saw it happen as he was taken up, right? Acts chapter 1, how did Jesus ascend to the right hand of the Father? Visibly. In fact, it says the disciples were still looking, and he disappeared. He got so high, he eventually made it to the clouds. Clouds. And as soon as they went out of sight, then angels appeared and said, hey, what are you guys doing? He's going to come back the same way. And then in the seven-year tribulation, we have the two witnesses. And how do they go? Visibly. The whole world is freaking out because they had a 3.5-day global broadcast. Yeah, these guys are dead. And God goes, watch this. Woo. So maybe it is the physical, that the planet will literally see us physically rise. And shocker, once again, Hollywood has got that covered as well. It was the aliens that sucked them up, like this show.
It's
Stephen Hawking, astrophysicist and arguably one of the smartest people on the planet, warned us about the possibility of aliens from outer space.
Hawking says that if extraterrestrials visit us, the outcome might be similar to when Columbus landed in America. In other words, it didn't turn out too well for Native Americans.
That's why we physically saw those people getting sucked up in the sky. It was the aliens. The enemy's got it covered either way. Put it into people's heads. Don't think about Jesus. Don't think about the rapture. Don't think about God or the Bible. When, not if, because he knows it's coming. When you see people disappear, instantly or physically, it was the aliens that got them. And I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but let's go back to the rapture passage. We meet the Lord in the air, but in the clouds. Now think about this timing. Wouldn't this be just like the enemy? We physically go up, just like the disciples are looking. The world's looking as we literally go up, and they're still looking, and we get to the clouds, and we disappear. So as we disappear in the clouds, wouldn't it be just like the enemy to appear out of the clouds with UFOs, spaceships? The deception is complete. Well, it was the aliens who did it. And isn't it interesting that that movie premise said, don't look up, which just happens to be the opposite of what Jesus says. When these things begin to take place, what do? You better stand up and look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. We are seeing, I'm convinced, the excuse for the rapture of the church ready to go. The enemy doesn't know the day and the hour of the rapture more than any of us do. But he knows the scripture, and God gives us many signs that it's got to be getting close. So the enemy's got his ducks in a row. He's ready, right? And so what does that tell us? It's got to be getting close. And then logically, if in fact UFOs and aliens are going to be the lie to explain the way of the rapture church, then what should we see with not only our own government, but the governments around the world? They're going to have to flip a switch. They're going to have to do it pretty quick, because for decades they've been saying what? Aliens, UFOs, that's a hoax. It was swamp gas. It was a weather balloon. You guys are wacko. Don't listen to those people. And what have they been recently now doing? Oh, no, they're real. We've been hiding it from you. And then they've already gone to the next step, saying, back to the interview with Allison, we've got biologics. We've got alien bodies. It's real. So if it's going to be the excuse, then at some point we would have to see the governments around the world admitting UFOs and aliens are real. And what are we seeing right now out of the blue? It's almost like the rapture is getting close. And that's the point. The rapture is imminent. It can happen at any moment. And praise God, we're going to be with the Lord. But this is our one shot to let other people know you can escape what is to come if you would just receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's what we should be doing. And as always, I don't know the heart, but as we close, if you're not truly saved, and you're not truly saved if you're trusting in something else other than Jesus Christ to get you to heaven, going to church services doesn't save you. Getting dunked in water doesn't save you. Trying to stay away from this and not being that bad of a person or find somebody worse, oh, we can always do that, than you. That's not the game. The standard is holiness. Are you holy like God without sin? None of us are. So we need a Savior. That's why Jesus came. He took the death penalty in our place. He died on the cross to forgive us all our sins. You need to trust in that. You need to receive that by faith and that alone. That's the only way out of here. And if you don't get that, and you could stare at it, you could look at it, you could acknowledge it, but that doesn't do you any good. James chapter 2 says the demons believe in God and they shudder. Given a mental assent that God is real doesn't save you. Jesus is real. He died on the cross for me. But until you receive it by faith, say, yes, God, that's me. Save me. Forgive me. Please, Jesus. Then you're not saved. and you are running the risk of ending up like these people. We'll close in prayer after this.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good.
Are you ready? The rapture could happen today. It's imminent, which means any moment. There's not one prophecy that needs to be fulfilled for that event to take place. It's only in God's good time. Are you ready? There's only one thing I disagree with that video. I think there's going to be people left behind who go to church services like that video because they never got saved. But I disagree with the number. There was only a handful. Unfortunately, you look at most churches today, and they're completely apostate. Learn to be a better you, how to be financially successful, and they never share the gospel, which means they got a lot of people coming, but nobody's saved. I think it's going to be the reverse of that in most of America. You're going to have a handful of people disappear. The bulk of them are going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth because they're sitting under hirelings, fake shepherds, who don't love enough to tell them the truth, even about salvation in Jesus Christ. I don't know where your heart's at, but this is no joke. If you're not saved, you need to get saved now. That's not a bad thing. It's best case scenario. The fact that God even made a way out, all have sinned, myself included. We all fall short of the glory of God. Not one of us are righteous, worthy to get to heaven on our own. But praise God, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the death penalty in our place. Receive it. No matter what you've done, the cross of Christ, the blood of Jesus, is able to forgive you of everything, 100%. If you would just say, "Yes, Jesus, save me today." Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our first study on this topic. And thank you for making it very clear in your word what we're dealing with here. It's the last day's deception. It's totally demonic. It's satanic. But God, our world is being led astray. Our family, our friends, our coworkers, everybody's enthralled with this. It's becoming a new religion, a replacement religion for you, Jesus. And that's just like the enemy. So help us, God, as your church, to get equipped on this issue. But share, more importantly, with those around us who are being led astray, that ultimately they'd be saved. And God, again, I don't know the heart, but you do. If there's anybody here today who is in danger of being left behind, please save them. Please draw them even now to you. And may they not leave this place without truly being born again. But thank you for our study today. Please bless it to these lives that belong to you. And we ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.